Hey, welcome back. This is Talking Tactics with Coach Dan. Again, as usual, it's myself, Mike, and our very favorite youth coach, Coach Dan. How you doing today, Dan?
Doing well. Doing well. Getting set up for the run up into a big Albany tournament against some teams from Syracuse coming up this weekend with my development team. So that's going to be exciting.
That'll be fun, man.
Yeah.
I know there are a few teams going to, you said Albany, right? That's the,
yeah.
There are a few teams that I know of going to Albany. Some of the Queen City kids are going to Albany too.
Somehow we got matched against the like 37th ranked team on the Eastern Seaboard, which is cool, but it'll be a test.
That'll be fun. Just make sure that they're tough and, you know, don't get pushed around. Cause I think that's like the biggest thing in these youth tournaments is like, yeah, get some of our kids in Vermont get bullied, you know, by some of the teams on the other, from the other states.
This is my older team, so I have some bigger guys compared to my youth team, but still going to be tough going against Syracuse Development Academy, which is apparently a big name in New York. So,
okay then,
we'll see how that goes.
That'll be a fun weekend for you then.
Oh yeah.
I have nothing going on. I purchased a new grill today, so I'm very excited about that.
Big news.
That is big news. I can get rid of my other two old dinosaurs. So wonderful. But other than that, man, I got nothing else going on. Got tomorrow off of work. So
nice.
I'm not too unhappy about that. But let's get to talking about what we came here for. We came here to break down a few players, we might as well just kick it right off let's talk about, what are we gonna call him? Is his name Xavier? We're still gonna call him Chavi?
Oh yeah, 100%. When you have your name like that and it's spelled the way it's spelled, he's gonna be Chavi. But there's no way. I'm not.
All right, good. So let's start off with Chavi. He's 19-year-old. He's a Trinidad and Tobago U20 international. He runs 5'11", 170. So he's also been a part of the DC United Academy. So he's come up. From good stock, right? So, and again, he plays Boston College. You know, ACC soccer is well known for being an elite conference. A couple of the things that I noticed out of him, some of the limited stuff that we get, you know, with some of these college players that I noticed, one was like he is a midfielder/winger. He's got some pretty good ball skills. It seems like he's super quick. He gets some nice shots off. We got to see him in a limited engagement in the U.S. Open Cup against Carolina. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you see out of this guy?
So to talk about the U.S. Open Cup game first, he wasn't really able to get into the game and have the effect that I'm sure he can have. So I don't really want to put too much weight into that performance. Because we were, you know, pretty far back and we were playing a specific way that, you know, not really indicative of how I think we'll play going forward. But yeah, I mean, you said it. He's a techie winger, right? He likes to drive down the line and take on defenders, whether that's, you know, a vertical run down the line to drive it across or pull up a defender out of space in the midfield and whip in a pass. He's certainly, you know, very, very fast. I mean, I watched a couple of clips of him from, I think it was about a year or two ago, so not super recent, but he was picking up the ball about midfield and he would just pace his defender. He would just pace right by him and cut the ball in. A couple of other things I noticed about him is he's not afraid to be that guy in the box that holds the ball. A couple of times when he would pick up the ball either on the outside of the box, towards the sideline or more towards the middle of the field, he would be okay with taking 2, 3, 4 touches in the box, you know, small touch, not moving the ball much. But I think that's, you know, indicative of the type of player he is. He's composed on the ball. He's not going to let defenses force him into making decisions. He's going to make the decisions he wants to make. And based off of the film, I was able to see, you know, he's pretty, you know, concrete in those opportunities where he is able to take those touches and you know, finish the ball.
Do you see him being having a, well, a couple of things? Do you see him having a large contribution in the summertime, or is he going to be more of one of these development players that comes in, he's on the squad but doesn't necessarily feature all the time? See him in some friendlies?
I'm not sure. I mean, it's so hard to call, right? Because we don't know, you know, as much as I would like to go across the street every day and watch the boys train, you know, I don't have that sort of insight into how he's performing in trainings. What I will say, though, is I think he has a pretty tremendous upside if he's able to get locked in and play the way I've seen him play. Again, he's going to be, depending on how Vermont Green set up, right? They set up in that traditional flat 4-4-2, where they have contributions from the outside backs going forward. And if the players that we saw during the U.S. Open Cup, you know, like Prego on the outside, if they're going to move the ball up that way, I think it might be harder for him to get time as they're attacking with their fullbacks.
Right.
But if they pivot to a, you know, instead of a high line with their midfielders, they pivot to a more winger focused offensive strategy. I definitely could see him having, you know, meaningful minutes played if he's able to, again, compete with the competition at this level.
Sure. Sure. So I had limited film on him to look at, you know, and I'm not the tactical genius, especially of the two of us here. But I don't necessarily see him as a shooter. He's more of a ball progressor. Like you said, he's speedy. So he does look like he's got a good touch. It looks like he's like great with the ball at his feet. He doesn't seem to allow people, like you said, allow people to take the ball off him. He's gonna dictate terms on his own yeah. terms.
Another thing I noticed about him, just to your point there, is he's got a pretty good level of physicality. There was a couple of clips where he would be driving into the box from the sideline and, you know, have that sort of stereotypical defender that's not holding him but totally has a handful of his shirt and is sort of yeah. wrapped around him. And he's doing the arm fighting there, and he's getting by the guys.
Right.
So whether that's something he's developed, you know, intentionally, or it's something that's just come based on the style of his play. I mean, a level of physicality in a winger is something that's, you know, really sought after. So
right.
That's great.
I think that, you know, the way that these guys, a lot of these players are being announced, I think that there's intent, you know, in announcing a lot of these, especially these younger players, and bringing these younger players into the team too. And I think that as we're able, you know, as we're more successful throughout the seasons, that we're going to bring in guys who are going to be able to rotate, and we're going to be able to have bigger squads, more talented players. And all these players are going to be able to make an impact. You know, from there, let's move on. I'm really excited about Javi, though.
I am as well.
Just I love speedy midfielders. So next guy is Ayoub Lajar. This kid, he's a Libyan born naturalized citizen from Vermont. Vermont Academy and Brattleboro High School. So he's one of our own. I think he just played his freshman year at UConn.
Yes.
He had 16 appearances, which is pretty big for a freshman player, especially as a late 18 and a 19 year old kid. Mm-hmm. Three apples, one goal. He's also played in the MLS Next Pro level for LAFC. Also another midfielder winger type. I did get to see a little bit of his Vermont Academy stuff. another similar player to Chavi. I think he's going to hold up with the ball a little bit better. Yeah. And you know, he's a little bit taller. He's about the same size, but like another speedy winger midfielder type. How do you break him down?
So I watched some of his UConn footage from last year. He actually has a huge presence on TikTok, which I found a lot of inspirational stuff on TikTok that he posts, which was kind of funny to find. But he in the film I was able to see outside of UConn, it seemed he was playing a bit below his level. Like a lot of the clips that I watched before he made his trip to college, he was playing in Vermont, which as a coach in Vermont, it pains me to say this, but we're not exactly a juggernaut in U.S. soccer. You know, getting out of the state, going and playing at a D1 school in a competitive district is great. And I noticed that he is, he's another player that is forward minded. I saw a couple of clips of him playing, you know, anywhere from out wide to as a center forward. And he's got a nose for goal. He's the kind of guy where he picks up the ball and it's 2-3 touches. It's a move. It's a pass or it's a shot. And, you know, with his height advantage and the way that Vermont has taken corners in the past, I think that another big body in the box certainly won't go missing when he's in that position.
Yeah, he for me is if we're going to talk about the two guys we just mentioned, yeah. He's going to be more of a goal scoring threat than Chavi is. Not to say that Chavi's not going to score goals, but Ayoub looks like he's got that like that prototypical like number 10 kind of look to him. A guy who can attack with the ball and you know he can score, but he's mm-hmm. also going to be very, very dangerous with a pass. Yeah.
I'm intrigued to see how he would fit in with the team, because he kind of looks like the type of player that enjoys playing that hold up striker role. Right. And that's not traditionally the way that Vermont Green has approached their attacking football.
Right.
They've done the slow build up and, you know, having an option, if we just want to go long and chuck it up to the big guy up top and have him hold it, you know, sort of a la Harry Kane and run off of him. I certainly think that could be a good option. It's just that, you know, he's so young, only having one collegiate season under his belt and coming from Vermont. I'm a little bit more hesitant on, you know, saying he's going to be, you know, have the same impact as someone who is hit the same age, but's played elsewhere in the States for longer. Right. Just because of the level of talent and the level of competition we have in the state.
Now, does that maybe knock him down a rung coming into camp or anything like that?
I don't necessarily think so. I think it's just going to be a test for him, right? Like I said, he's played in Vermont and we have a lot of great players in this state, but you know, you're not running into elite players in every team you play. And so this is, you know, it looked like he got meaningful, like something like 650 minutes his freshman year, which is big at a D1 school.
Right.
So maybe I'm completely off the mark here, but it'll be a test to see if he can deal with this, you know, even more increased level of competition at a higher level back in his home state.
I think that players like this are going to be great because I think that they're going to be the ones who are going to be able to stick around for the entire summer. I think that Adam in his approach, you know, now as the sporting director of Vermont Green, as well as the head coach this year, his approach in recruiting has kind of gone that way, as to like in the first season, we had a lot of guys who were just brought in who could do a job for a period of time. And
we had contractors.
Right. Yeah. They were contractors. I think he's able now with our success to be able to recruit guys that are going to be here for the long haul, and the guys that aren't going to be here for the long haul, you know, to be able to recruit guys like Ayoub and like Chavi, who are, who are going to be able to stay and develop under a coach in kind of an elite division or conference within USL2 is a big deal. And I think that he's probably going to end up getting playing time.
I don't doubt he'll get playing time. I certainly think he, like I said, has tremendous upside. I'm just interested to see how he rises to the challenge. I don't think it's above him in any way.
So our next guy, and this will be our last guy for the night, but our next guy is the big one for me. Another midfielder, Sam Layton. He's an Australian international, goes to Syracuse. He's our, I think, fifth recruit from Syracuse this year.
Yep. We got a pipeline.
Yeah, we do. Pipeline.
I'm not upset about it at all.
Not one bit. Cause, as we know, Syracuse is in and around the national championship, every single year. This guy comes out of the Burnley Academy, as a kid. He's a midfielder. He's a defensive midfielder. He's a big dude. He's 6'2", 6'3", 100. He goes anywhere from 175 to 185 pounds, depending on, what Google brings up for you. Yeah. This dude, like, he had a bunch of tape, from his Burnley days, up through his four college years. He's a graduate transfer this year at Syracuse, mm-hmm. but he went to Southern Illinois University, and he was highly successful there. He's not a goal scorer. He's not necessarily an assist man. But he is a big contributor. He's very physical. He's not afraid to pick out a pass or hit a long diagonal. But again, like I said, he's not necessarily an attacking presence. So if you're looking for flash and that kind of stuff out of him, you're not really going to get it. He did have some super brave passes beautiful long passes through the middle and long, those beautiful long looping diagonals that can actually kill a team.
I mean, the reason I'm so excited about Sam is just because of the tape that I watched of him at Burnley and just his style of play was he's been set up in a 4-4-2 his whole life, like all the way through Burnley. And he's able to do the small nuanced things that's really difficult for a DM to do in a 4-4-2. He essentially in possession has dropped into what we would have called in the olden days a stopper position, right? He drops back into the center of the field between our defensive and midfield line and plays at the base of a triangle there.
Like a three quarterback type of a.
Yeah. And that's an incredibly hard job to do because you are right against most teams. You're right where their press is, and to be able to receive the ball most of the times with your back to the goal you're attacking and have the presence of mind and the technical ability to turn and distribute under what is usually incredibly high pressure with the two strikers jumping on you as fast as they can is incredibly exciting to me. I mean, in transition, we've seen him be a part of, or I've seen him be a part of both a single and double pivot move, which is great. It's super applicable because he's able to work in, if they want him as a single pivot, if they only want one of their midfielders, the Vermont Green only want one of our midfielders dropping back into space to receive and turn, he's comfortable doing that. But I've also seen him work as a part of a double pivot where he's able to receive the ball more closer to the sidelines and then initiate an attack through a series of 3-4 short passes where at the end of it, our fullbacks are on the halfway line and the rest of our team is as high up the field as we can get. So it's something that I think is a very good fit for how Vermont Green likes to play the ball. And it's been confirmed throughout the US Open Cup matches that we're a possession first team, right? Possession is paramount. So if we can have a guy who's rock steady in that holding midfielder position, I think it gives our outside backs and our center backs a huge break in starting our push forward.
Is he going to be a guy, in your estimation, that's going to be competing with a Musa or a Rodri, or be maybe we might see Musa be put back in that center back role?
I would say I love Musa. I think he's a tremendous player. I don't think he is best used at a DM. I think right. that he's an incredible, incredible center back. And I think the pairing between Sam and Musa is going to be great, because you have two players with incredible physical presence, incredible presence of mind, incredible intelligence on the ball. One is just more gifted in one way and the other is more gifted in a different way.
So he would probably work in a pivot with Rodri, maybe.
If we want to play a double pivot, if not, Rodri can stay higher. Right. And we essentially go from a 4-4-2 to a 4-1-3-2 and have Rodri playing as a cam,
right.
In possession. I'm sure they'll still line up as a 4-4-2, but yeah,
man, so many options for this team already.
I got my whiteboard. If you want, I can pull out the whiteboard and we can write it up if you want.
We should actually think about doing that for one of the next podcasts.
Oh, I'm game.
Because I'm still trying to figure out how to get video onto this thing so we can put your face in a corner and run video.
Oh, dude, I want to be a floating head. That'd be awesome. Can I get the yellow marker where I can like circle and draw lines? Dude,
yeah, like the old Madden Telestrator type of thing.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be awesome. Or just like move arrows around. That would be pretty cool too. We've broken down six guys so far. And the ones I'm most excited about, because I think that maybe because there's the most tape on them, are Reed Fisher and Leighton. We got to see, we didn't get to see Reed actually play. He did show up to the US Open Cup. He got in with the guys and I think that, you know, getting in early with the guys is going to, and understanding the training that's going to be happening now. I think with Lee Williamson there, he's going to put them through the ringer. As far as the fitness goes, as far as the speed and strength development and that kind of stuff. Lee doesn't mess around with that kind of stuff.
He's a
super serious guy and he takes his coaching seriously. I think that getting in there, understanding some of the ways that Vermont Green is going to be coached now. Do you see us playing differently? Do you see us being more fit, less, or not necessarily less fit, but maybe being able to play a little more strict style of football because of the fitness?
Yes and no. I mean, a more fit soccer team is going to play faster, right? I mean, and one of the big focus points in US soccer right now, it won't stop emailing me about it, is teaching speed of play, right? As a youth coach, you know, you want to see your players making the right decisions on the field. You want them being cognizant and intelligent of what's happening around them. And you don't want to build passing robots, right, that just run a set play like we're playing basketball. And so a big part of that is...
Is that because it becomes like predictable?
It becomes predictable, and then they can't problem solve. Right?
Automations are right.
If a striker steps back into space and covers someone on your defensive line, the kids or the players can't make decisions. They're going to default to what they know best, and that's to continue to play the way they have been. It's going to get shut down. They're going to get scored on. Right.
Right.
And a big portion of that is developing a sense of self in the players and developing the ability to improvise, but also improvise at speed. And so what I think we'll see with Lee's huge focus on, you know, the physical training, which he does such a great job at, is the ability for our already talented players to do what they do a half step faster, a whole step faster, right? So are we, are, it is a full 11 lineup of more fit players going to play fundamentally different soccer? No. What it's going to allow them to do is execute on the game plan at, like I said, half step faster, a full step faster, which hopefully, and I think it will, it'll put teams on their heels, mm-hmm. right? They'll be able to see what we're doing. They might be even able to tactically break it down and say, hey, you should come here, you should come here. But at the speed we'll be moving at, it'll be difficult for them.
Right.
And the only other thing I would say about this and sort of the, this focus on physical training with the guys is that it's Lee has a tough job because these guys are coming from completely disparate training regimens and trying to make sure that every player has a regimen that works best for them in this short period of time is incredibly difficult. So whether he decides to go with a, you know, this is our team physical training, this is, you know, we lift this amount of weight first, then we move to legs, then we do arms, then we go sprints, you know, whatever it is. If that's his approach and it works, that's good. But I would say that these players probably already have their own preferred workouts, their own preferred, you know, sure. focus areas. So dealing with that could be a small challenge for him.
Well, I do know that he puts my son through the ringer every Wednesday. So
he puts me through the ringer when I play against him in beer league and I'm marking him.
every single week, on Wednesdays, Lucas comes home and he's like, I can't feel my legs.
You got the jelly legs. The old jelly legs.
Jelly legs. Yeah. 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 So, good stuff. So yeah, before we close here, I just want to ask you of the six guys, give me two, cause we did, I also liked Ernest Bawa too. I think he's a good looking player. Give me two that you think are going to have the most effect on the season so far.
So
that we've done so far.
I'll give you three. I'll say a tie for second would be Ernest and Javi. I think both they play similar places. They're both techie players who like to drive with the ball at their feet. And if either one of them can get meaningful time and can really have the impact that they've had at their previous teams, I think that's a whole new level of threat for Vermont. Right? We're a long team that builds slowly. We also have the option to go give the ball out wide, have them take it on a line and just work the 1v1s or the 2v1s on that side and build up. And I think that is something that we've missed in previous years. Or we had it at the very beginning of last year with Gavork, but he didn't stick around for very long. He was on to bigger and better things. And then, I mean, I'm going to be boring. I'm going to say Sam. I mean, I think Sam Layton is, you know, my style of soccer is, as I said earlier, it's, you know, possession is paramount.
Right.
We have the ball, they can't score, right?
Sure.
And that's, you know, every time I coach, you know, my guys say, this is boring, we want to go on runs. I'm like, yes, I understand that. There's a time and a place. And having a player who can comfortably handle the pressure of being that ball playing DM, be able to find passes, whether they're, you said, the big looping balls to the corners or those, you know, those cutting passes that cut through the center backs and even through the midfield, will enable our guys that are either, you know, I don't want to say more technical, but differently technical and differently focused in an attacking sense to really shine when they're given the ball in the correct places with the correct amount of time to work it.
You know, you do say you just kind of gave that Johan Cruyff kind of if we have the ball, they can't score. But there's another coach out there in the Premier League who subscribes to that too. A couple of coaches. One is named Pep Guardiola.
Oh, I've heard of him once or twice.
Yeah, and the
as
other
much, as much as I hate the guy,
the other is a guy who was very, very successful in Japan and Scotland, so we won't mention his name on this podcast. Yeah,
I mean,
great stuff.
as much I was gonna say, as much as I hate the guy, Pep's a tactical genius, and
Yeah.
it's it. I hate to say it, but I there's a saying going around, the coaching circles here. It's like you either developed your own coaching ideology, and then followed Pep after it didn't work, or you started out following Pep.
Right.
So it's. Possession focused football, I believe, is the way of the future. As simplistic as it is to say that, there's so much innovation happening. And with the coaching staff we have, and I just want to again shout out, former coworker Brad Agus, guy. They gave him a job in. They gave him, I shouldn't say a job. They gave him a very difficult task against in our two US Open Cup games of coming up with the defensive strategy for both of those very talented teams. And I think that his introduction to the team is going to give them a whole other level of tactical ability.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So yeah, we're gonna close out here. But before we go, we do have to do some housekeeping, which we always do. Well, we don't always do it. I usually forget, but I just want to mention that we are united in green. This is our little offshoot. We call it Talking Tactics with Coach Dan. And Dan always brings in some amazing stuff. So if any of you guys want to learn more about the game, Dan is the guy. He really gives us some major insight as to how we play, how Vermont Green plays, how the teams that we play against play. So we're going to continue this throughout the season, and we're going to talk tactics maybe separately, maybe on the main pod. But until then, you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms except for Apple, because, well, we don't need to discuss that anymore. But if you need the RSS feed to get it on Apple, just find us on Instagram or Facebook. If you're my dad's age, you can find us on Facebook. But you can also find us on the Blazing Musket. We have partnered with them, and they give us regular updates on our Vermont Green team, and they really pump up this podcast too. And one last thing, you could find us on Instagram as well. But one last thing is, 7 days, the Daisies are coming
Yeah.
out. Please, 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 if you can, go on to their website. And I have put the link on our Instagram page to go onto the website and nominate us for the best local podcast. I think we are the best local podcast out there, for the best community building leisure activity that we have in this state, in this
Yeah,
area.
keep qualifying it. Keep qualifying it.
I don't
Yeah.
have to.
That's
I really don't have to,
green color based talking tactics.
but and I'm gonna keep pumping it
Oh,
until the
please.
voting is over.
Look,
So
I mean, I'm self-nominating, so I mean, I'm there's
heck
no shame here.
yeah. Heck yeah, man. Yeah, until then, I want to thank you, Dan, again. What a great time. I always like talking to you, even though
Right.
we're sometimes on different sides of the fence, but that's okay.
That's how it works.
Hey, man, we're buddies, and I'm glad to have you on the podcast, and
Glad
this
to
is
be here.
always a great time. So
Of course.
yeah, so until next time, I'm Mike, that's Dan, and this has been United in Green, Talking Tactics with Coach Dan. And we'll see you guys next time up the green.
Up the green.